in our scriptures, there are two themes that are intertwined. The theme of weakness and strength, but also the theme of death and resurrection. In our Old Testament reading, I'm struck by the strength of the vision of the Ten Commandments, but also by the weakness that we have in ever fulfilling that in our own strength. We don't have the strength to fulfill that vision and to obey those commandments. And St. Paul often speaks about this and says this is why we needed Jesus. You can sense that, actually, as you read the Ten Commandments. It's just possible, if with the real strength of will, that you might be able to keep the first through to the ninth commandment, because they're all about outward actions. But when you come to the tenth, about coveting, it's about the heart, it's about what goes on in your heart, and we just don't have that strength within us to be godly in our heart of hearts, in ourselves. We have within us, at the very core of us, a weakness. And then in our New Testament reading, Paul reveals that Jesus has come in what seems like real foolishness to people who think that they can accomplish things through strength and force and might, and that he sent his son in weakness to identify with us in our weakness, and that the cross is the ultimate expression of this. But of course, that weakness is expressed first in the incarnation, in Jesus coming and being like one of us. And in the foolishness of God, Christ shows weakness, and actually, he's implying that this is the greatest wisdom of all, and this is where the greatest strength comes from, that Jesus reveals something in his life, his death, his resurrection, which is of vital, vital spiritual importance to us, that there is a source of strength which is not different from weakness, actually, but it seems to be connected in some way. This weakness and yet strength is also the spiritual weakness and strength which we see in Jesus. He can be opposed, he can be captured, he can be torn and bruised, lashed, killed, and yet the strength of resurrection is in him. He can be abandoned, he can be unloved, he can be hated, and yet the strength of resurrection is always within him. And this is the weakness and strength that we also always have. We can be destroyed and broken in these ways, and yet God is offering to us, through Jesus, the spiritual strength that he has in order to be able to always find that strength when we need it. And in our gospel reading, Jesus shows the utter futility of the temple kind of approach to worship, where God is appeased through bringing things and through our own efforts. Jesus focuses in the end on the real spiritual reality which is going to bring us close to God, and that's his death and resurrection. Death ends in resurrection because of the force and the power and the life which is in Jesus. It can't be conquered. There is always new life, it would seem, that can come from this power of God that underlies the life that we have in our creation and in our redemption. Jesus showed this in his life and death and resurrection, but we also see it in our own lives too when we come to trust in Jesus and draw from the water of his well, when we have His life within us, when we open our lives to His life consciously, moment by moment and day by day, we draw from that spiritual strength. It doesn't make us mighty. It doesn't make us strong in the sense that we can't be destroyed. We can be destroyed in mind and body and spirit, I guess, broken apart. But it can never take away the spirit, the essence of who we now are in Christ. The spiritual reality of that life is there, and that will always be there as a strength for us to draw on. Jesus referred to it as, in another part of the Gospel of John, as wells of living water that rise up from within us. So what practical difference does any of this make? How can we connect with that spiritual reality so that when we face moments of brokenness or even death, we know the strength of God and the power of His resurrection? Jesus points to two things in both His teaching and also His practice. The first is scripture, and the other is prayer. Now, by scripture, I don't mean the study of scripture, the analysis of an object from our own intellectual power. And prayer, I'm not talking about sort of like writing a list to Santa of Christmas wishes or gifts. Rather, it's with scripture, it's about allowing it to permeate our lives and shift our perspective as it becomes part of us. And in prayer, it's rather about spending time in the presence of God, being subject to His loving gaze and gazing lovingly on Him. One simple way of doing this day by day, something that will shift you and shift the way you see and act if you do this, is just to spend a short time each day in Lectio Divina, which I demonstrated in my sermon 2 weeks ago. You take a short passage, start with a gospel, and you take a short passage and you read it through, and you look for any particular word or phrase which really speaks to you. It can be something pretty obvious or be something completely out of the left field. Secondly, you read it through again and you let it to work in you. You make connections with your heart and mind and emotions. You see what it does to you and see what it's kind of opening up. You ponder it and see how it's speaking to you. You're not analysing it. In fact, you're just the opposite. You're allowing it to analyse you, your understanding of yourself and God and the world. You notice what emotions arise or what thoughts come, what connections are made. You read it through a third time, and this time you see if there's anything that you need to be praying about, anything that draws you to pray to God, to lift to God, either for yourself or for others. And then finally, you take that into a time where you just sit and let it be, let it permeate your soul. And for about 20 minutes, you do something that some people call centering prayer, others silent prayer or contemplative prayer. You sit quietly, and whenever thoughts come and thoughts intrude, you use a prayer word that you choose. It could be Jesus or love or God or something like that. Help me, or whatever it is, but you choose something that's a prayer word, and whenever thoughts distract you, just say the word and come back to your gaze and contemplation on God. 20 minutes. And it will gradually, day by day, shift the way that you see yourself and the world, others, God. And be a conduit for that bubbling spring, which Jesus says will be there at the heart of everyone who invites Him to be part of their lives. I commend that to you, and commend to you always then this sense that in our weakness is God's strength, and where there's death, there's always resurrection.